All right, tonight is entitled Our Provider. And I have been thinking about this a lot lately as a new father and just all the different responsibilities that I have, and as I just think about all the different things that you guys have on your plates. And I'm reawakened to the importance of how essential for the Christian walk to work that we be connected to our God, that we actually have a connected relationship to Him, and that we recognize His role and our role, and that we know how to lean on Him and trust Him. And the term that's been just coming to mind lately is God is our source. And when I'm thinking about God being our source, I'm thinking about it being the Lord that we're looking to for our supply. The Lord being the one that we're looking to take care of us and to meet our needs. And obviously then how that plays into a growing personal relationship that we are leaning on the Lord in all things. It's been my experience that the Lord certainly uses things in my life as means. He'll use certain things as means to provide for me. But it's Him that's the provider, not those things. Just, you know, a little for instance, you know, I've always had a job. One way or the other, I've always, you know, been employed somehow or the other, or, you know, brief season looking for another job. And so it's really easy to start to look at our job as our source of supply. It's really easy to start thinking of the job is what pays the bills. The job is my provider. But it's actually not real at all. And it's the Lord that is the one that even provides that job. It's the Lord that makes the economy even work so that when you get that paycheck, you can cash your check and that anything comes of that. And what I want to do tonight is I really want to shift our focus a little bit. And I want to take our eyes off of the temporal. I want to take our eyes off of the things that we can touch, the things that we can see on a regular basis, the things that we interact with on a regular basis. Lisa, if you don't mind, turn it up in here. I must have turned that air conditioner down too cold. Thank you. My hope tonight is that we would be able to shift our focus slightly, and I'll just warn you, you won't have time to look up all the Bible verses. I just got in a leapy mood, and so, man, there's just going to be a lot of scripture. We're just going to throw them up on the screen one at a time. If you guys want the notes later because I'm moving too fast, just email me and I'll send them to you. Romans 11:36, I think, really just captures my hope tonight of what we're trying to do in this message. And that is painting the picture of the invincible, painting the picture of the supreme, painting the picture of the all-sufficient, all-capable, almighty God, and looking to Him as our solution and our answers. Here it is, Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. It's to Him be the glory forever. But we're actually talking tonight, when we're talking about God as our provider, we're going to go way beyond finances. We're going to talk about the God who we interact with, who is all things. In Him everything was made, through Him everything functions, for Him the existence of all things is put in place. We are talking about our personal relationship with the God who has control, power, preeminence over, in, and through everything. So when we talk about Him as provider, we're looking at the one who is supreme and has everything in Him, through Him, and for Him. That's what I mean when I say provider tonight. He has infinite reach. This above, or this verse that we just read, it speaks of the nature of the one that we're in relationship with. So many times in our relationship with Christ, we get our eyes off of Christ and onto our circumstances, onto the things that the Lord is using to provide for us. I want to get that focus back on Him tonight. So some simple takeaways before we jump in. Some simple takeaways.
We can't figure
it out. For real. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to just pretend that I am not ADD and that I am not distracted by that music in the background. Okay, so long as it doesn't turn up, hopefully we'll be okay. Okay, so some simple takeaways. One, I want to recognize tonight, just as we're starting 2013, let's get our bearings right. I want to recognize tonight the utter simplicity of our role in our relationship with God. It is a very simple role. I want to recognize the magnitude of God's role tonight. The massive role. I think it turned up. Is there seriously nothing? Can we unplug something?
Yeah.
Just start unplugging everything. And then lastly, the third takeaway. So first is recognize our simple role. Second is to see the magnitude of God's role. And then third is to start looking up more for our answers instead of around us. I think that's a theme that many of us have and don't know. Try a different mic. Okay. A theme that many of us have that we are not even maybe aware of is how much we look around. How much we look around us for the answers. Okay, you guys, reboot with me because I know we just had a little rabbit trail that was all my fault. So my hope tonight is that we would start to look up more for our answers instead of around at our circumstances, at the natural provisions, at the things in the natural. Okay, you guys with me?
Yes.
Good. All right, let's jump into some scriptures. Again, we'll probably be moving faster than you feel comfortable with. Not leaning on natural things. You know, Jesus, in Matthew 4, right before the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks, and he's talking actually to Satan in the temptation. And he says, man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus in that moment is actually quoting Deuteronomy. Let's bring up the Deuteronomy verse if we can. Deuteronomy 8:3. And in this passage, Jesus is referring back to the account of the Exodus and the fact that manna showed up on the ground every single day for 40 years. Spare the Sabbath. Showed up every single day for 40 years, not because it was bread, not because it was food, not because the Israelites did anything, but by the very word of God. God said, bread today. Bread today. Bread today. And it was the provision of the word of the Lord that caused the Israelites, an entire nation of people, to be fed every single day. And so Jesus is quoting that passage. And he says, we don't live by bread. God's got so much bread, he doesn't know what to do with it all. He just has it spout up on the ground for 40 years. We don't live by bread. You think you need food? Do you know how much food God has access to? We don't live by food. We don't live by the natural provisions. We live by the word of God, because if God speaks that food into place, you're golden. And if God doesn't speak that food into place, doesn't matter what you do, you're going to find yourself in serious trouble. So here he says, he humbled you. He humbled you because you were leaning on your own strengths. You were leaning on your own provisions, causing you to hunger, but then feeding you with manna, which neither you or your fathers had ever known. Why? To teach you that man does not live on the bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This idea of not leaning on natural things. Now, every day they got up and they ate that bread. And man, they were glad about it. They had it, they ate it. But they weren't putting their faith, at least the lesson the Lord was trying to teach them, not to put their faith in the bread, but to put their faith in the one who gave them the bread. Because the Lord can turn that bread machine off and turn that bread machine on in 1 second by the very word of the Lord. Next, being anxious in nothing. Now this is the key. This is really where it comes down to, because I think anxiety really plays a huge role in causing us to look around instead of looking up. Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This puts us in a little bit of a difficult situation. Because here, Paul, who by the way, when he's writing this, is in jail. Okay, so if anybody's got a right to say, don't be anxious about anything, it's the guy writing it in chains. Okay, he says, you don't have a right, you don't have legal position to ever be anxious. Like, oh man, I feel anxiety because of this, because of this, because of this. Paul says, yeah, actually call that sin, repent of it, and don't be anxious ever again. Not once, ever. And when you feel that anxiety coming, instead of giving into that anxiety, instead, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, oh God, you're awesome, look up instead of looking around at your circumstances. Look to the provider. Look to the one who has the capacity to get you out of that situation, to help you with that lack, to deal with that inadequacy, to help you overcome in all things, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. Don't be anxious. Instead, look to the one who can overcome that. Man, when I first read that verse and I had realized all the anxieties that I'd given myself to, and we really have to talk about it that way, that we have willfully given ourselves to be anxious, because the Bible can't command you to do something that's impossible. Like, don't be anxious. Well, no, we're just prone to anxiety. We're stuck. You're not stuck. We've given ourselves over to anxiety because we probably not know how to fight it. When I first saw this verse, I was messed up. I can remember being, early in my walk in Christ and seeing this verse and others like it and going, the Bible says don't ever be anxious, and that when anxiety comes, whatever it is that's causing that anxiety, I can actually find my way out by looking up to the source instead of looking around at my circumstances. It's powerful. Well, what about when we embrace anxiety? I've got some things that I think will maybe help give some aha moments to us. Because if we're going to talk about the Lord being our provider, we need to contextualize it in our lives and figure out, well, when is it then that I'm giving myself over to anxiety, to trusting things in the natural, instead of trusting the Lord? And I think if we can identify that, it'll help us to look up in those circumstances. So here's some commonalities. When we put our trust someplace that it doesn't belong, that's when we fall prey to anxiety. It's by putting our trust in something, someone, some place, some spot, some establishment, some ministry, whatever, by putting our trust in something where it doesn't belong, you now have an inroad for anxiety, because everything's going to let you down eventually. So when we face anxiety, this little misstep of shifting our perspective off of God and onto ourselves, it's taking God out of the equation. That's really what anxiety is. If you want to ever know, if you want to get down to the very basics of what anxiety is, it's taking our focus off of the Lord and putting our focus on a thing, on a person, on a situation. And it doesn't belong there. As long as we're looking up, let me tell you what as long as you're looking up does for you. How about our buddy Stephen in the book of Acts? He's looking up and getting rocks thrown at his face. He's dying, but he's not looking around. He's looking up. You want to talk about being anxious? I've never been stoned, but I imagine it's pretty difficult. And this guy's getting rocks thrown at him. You know when they stop stoning you? When you're underneath all the rocks. That's they bury you. They just throw rocks. Stephen's got a big smile on his face, looking up. And the Lord gave supernatural provision in that moment to be martyred and not even feel it, or not feel the extent of it, because his perspective. This is the power. I want us to look at Stephen in that moment and realize all the unnecessary anxiety that we embrace about 100 lesser things than getting stoned. Okay? And in that moment, he's got his eyes up and he's talking to the Lord. He's giving thanks to the Lord. He's doing the very thing that Paul would later say in Philippians 4:6, that in all things, present your requests to God. Talk to God. And in the middle of it, God gives crazy provision for the moment because he wasn't looking around. The issue of anxiety comes when we've got our focus on a circumstance, a thing, a person, instead of our focus on the Lord. Because if we've got our focus on him, nothing touches us. And that's the power. We're not supposed to live like the lost world. We don't have to follow their rules. There's a great quote, I just love it, from, if you guys have ever seen Groundhog Day, when Bill Murray, he's in a crazy fit, but he's driving down the railroad tracks, and he goes, I'm not going to live by their rules anymore. And I just love that line because it's so essential that the believer recognize we're not like the rest of them anymore. We don't have to follow the rules of this world any longer. We now operate according to a different kingdom, a higher order. But it does make you have to actually embrace things according to what the scripture says, like looking up instead of looking at all the things that would normally freak you out. So let's look at some commonalities when we face anxiety. We will face anxiety when, first one's on, up here, when we trust in something temporal that is failing us. Think about it. Now think about your life. Last time you were anxious. Maybe it was because you were trusting in something temporal and that temporal thing broke. You were trusting that your car is your provider. My car gets me to work every day. And then one day, your car broke down on the way to work. And all of a sudden, anxiety is starting to come because if your hope, if your if your focus was on the fact that your car gets you to work every day and not the Lord, your thing just broke. Now you're in angst because your eyes were on something temporal and it started failing you. It's all good and dandy when it's working, right? You got no problem at all. You don't even realize you're sick. You don't even know that you've got your eyes off the Lord until something breaks. Man, then the Lord uses those moments to show us what we were putting our hope in, putting our trust in. Next, we face anxiety when it appears that something could potentially fail us. Man, that was just the appearance. Just the thought, well, what if I lose my job? Well, what if I can't make the bills? What if I do this? What if I do that? You haven't even messed up yet. The thing hasn't even fallen apart. You got anxiety at just the thought that it might mess up. Because you've got our focus. We've got our focus on the things around here instead of looking up. I'm telling you, if Stephen can get stoned and keep his perspective up, we need to learn a lesson from our bro. Okay? I mean, that is an intense trial that the guy went through. We face anxiety when something's out of our control. Now, we don't have to. Here's the deal on all of these. Facing anxiety doesn't mean you give in to it. We're told in Ephesians 6 that the enemy throws darts at us and that we can extinguish those darts with faith. That we don't have to give in. So when anxiety comes and it's coming like a freight train, just boom, coming at you, you don't have to give in to it. But when something's out of our control, anxiety normally is at the door. And we start to think, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out here. I don't have control over this. I can't make this thing land anymore. When we don't trust that the Lord's plan is sufficient for us, this is a huge one. Start thinking about all the different things going on in our lives and, you know, as young adults and all the different situations that we're actually not trusting the Lord's plan. We don't like it. We're like, Lord, I know you could do better for me than this. That's really our silent accusation. I doubt any of you have actually said that out loud to the Lord. But what happens is we get dissatisfied. We get discontent. And we actually start to accuse the Lord's plan for our lives as being less than sufficient. And when we get into that position, we start getting anxious because things aren't going the way we want them to, because things aren't landing in the timing that we want, because we can't make the situation go just the way that we want to, and anxiety starts to come in. But the scripture says, be thankful in all things. The scripture says, just more or less, just if I can paraphrase, chill out and trust God. And as long as we're trusting that what's happening, the things that he's bringing, the things that he's doing, as long as we are trusting that that is sufficient for me, give me today my daily bread. Give me the things I need, Lord, and I will call that sufficient. As long as we're trusting that his plan is sufficient, we don't freak out. It's when we start get the angst that the things that the Lord is providing or not providing is insufficient, as though God could make a mistake in our lives. And we make the accusation, this is not enough. This is not good enough. Then we start to get anxious because we're not trusting in his plan. Next, when we take on responsibilities that are not ours to carry. Ooh, man, I don't know about you guys, but I got a couple of responsibilities in my life, and I have the tendency in those responsibilities to take on a higher percentage of the responsibility load than is actually probably mine to bear. We start to take on responsibilities that aren't ours. We start to take on job titles that aren't ours. That the Lord actually desires that we would, just like I said at the beginning, that we would recognize our role is a pretty simple role. His role is the really deep role, the really involved role. When we begin to take on responsibilities that aren't ours, like I have to provide, I have to find a way, I have to get the solution, I have to make this situation go this way to this way. I have to. When we start to take on those responsibilities, instead, slight perspective shift. Just a slight perspective shift. Lord, sure be nice to provide for my family here. You got any direction for me? You got any leadership? Lord, you provide for my family and I'll do anything. But I'm looking for you to be the one who provides. Lord, this situation's broken. They call me in charge of it. I'd really like to be able to get this thing fixed. Lord, I need you to change the situation. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But it's you who's got to shift it. Lord, this situation's going so south over here. This person has plumb lost their mind. I can't make them see the truth. Lord, would you move on their heart? And I'll say anything you want me to say. I'll do anything you want me to do. But it's not my responsibility to get that person's mind shifted, to get that situation changed, or to provide that whatever to make the thing happen. We've got to leave the Lord's role alone. Let him do his part, and we do our part. It doesn't mean that you just sit around and don't ever do anything. It does mean active participation. But you can be actively participating without having to feel the anxiety of the responsibility because you can't do anything. I mean, imagine the Israelites go out one day and there's no manna on the ground. And it's a Tuesday. Okay? It's not Saturday. It's a Tuesday and there's no manna. And they're like, oh, I got to make the manna come down. What in the world are those Israelites actually going to do to make bread show up when God's the one that turned off the waterworks? Nothing. That is a brilliant picture. It's the reason I believe that it was reiterated in the New Testament to bring back that very picture of the incredible source that is our God and the incredible inability that you and I have to do squat. We can't get anything done. We can't accomplish anything. We're not God. He is. He uses us. He allows us to participate with him. But let's not change our perspective from the fact that God uses us to carrying the weight that it's actually our responsibility to make the thing shift or change. Lastly, we experience anxiety when our comfort is rooted in our circumstances and things get tough. You know, when your comfort is rooted in anything but the Lord, your comfort can get ganked from you instantly. You know, if your comfort is found in a circumstance, a relationship, a situation, your job, ministry, a friendship, whatever. Do you know how fragile your comfort is? Your comfort can get messed up in 1 minute because somebody had a bad day. Boom, your comfort's gone. If you are leaning on one of those things, you're in deep trouble. Anxiety will hit you like a ton of bricks. Our comfort can't be rested in our situation, our circumstance. Listen, I have got the best gig in the world. I love my job. I got a great household. I got a cool car. I love my wife and daughter. But my comfort can't rest in the fact that I got it all going right. Because all that can crumble tomorrow. And especially if we've been paying attention at all to what's going on in the world right now, systems are going to crumble. We're going to experience in these coming years some massive shaking that I think is going to be very much aimed at us, the church, from the Lord to see where we've placed our comfort. Is our comfort in the God who has all comfort? Or is our comfort resting in temporal things? Things that can be taken, shaken, stolen, broken. Because those things will be taken and can be. All right. Well, let's blow one more out of the water here. The sin of worry. So the whole concept of anxiety is, here's how it works. You want something, comfort, a situation to be taken care of, to keep your job. I mean, normal things. Like, who doesn't want to keep their job, right? You want something. Something threatens that thing that you want. Anxiety starts knocking at the door and saying to you, you're in trouble. This thing's going to get taken. This thing's going to fall apart, whatever. And you now start looking at the circumstance. And what happens is worry comes in. And we begin to worry and give attention and thought to a situation going south. You know what I really wish I could get back? All probably the hundreds of hours of brain cycles that I spent and laying awake late at night in my bed nights thinking about a situation and all the bad ways that it could possibly go. Well, it could go this way. And what if they come in then? Man, that's really going to go bad. And, oh my gosh, and if that cost even one more dollar, we're in trouble. Like, if I could just get back all that wasted time that I was worrying. You know, if you just won't think about it, you can't worry. Worry is all up here. So much of your life takes place between your ears. What's going on in your brain? If we will refuse to think about the things that typically would worry us, you've already won the battle. And do you know what the Bible says? Worrying can't help you a flip. Let's just read a little excerpt here of Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Just some little pieces, parts. Jesus. And just love Jesus, like, telling us, Paul says, anxiety, yeah, just throw that out. You can't ever be anxious. There's no place for that in the body of Christ. Ever? Really? Dang. Jesus touches on worry, same concept. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, about your body or what you'll wear. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Jesus might even give a little commentary. In fact, you'll lose a lot of hours of your life worrying. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. All the things that you're freaked out about, all the things that you're concerned about, all the things that you've got to worry about, if you'll focus on the kingdom, if you'll look up, he will provide these things for you. You know what, the all this stuff up atop, worrying about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll wear, it covers so many areas of life. What you'll eat and drink, that means you have to have money. And God's like, please, you think I won't feed you? Do you remember the bread? Do you remember the 40 years of bread for 3 million people every day? And you think I won't feed you? What about what you'll wear? Come on. He gives some illustrations in this passage. I promise I'll put clothes on you. Well, what about my life? Don't worry about your life. He says it doesn't matter what it is that you're worrying about. 100% of the time, it will get you nowhere to worry. Like, oh, I'm just worry. I'm a worry word. I'm bent that way. Get delivered of that. There's no place for it. There's no place for worry ever, not for 1 second. And if you're like me and you realize, well, I got some lack. I messed up on that one. I'm worrying right now, actually. I wonder what they're thinking about me right now. Just repent of the worry and move on. Lord, worry. I'm worrying right now about this thing. I call it sin. I disagree with it. I'm not going to worry about that anymore, Lord. Give me grace. Deliver me from that worry, because it's something I don't have to meditate on. It's something Jesus told me I have freedom from. I don't have to spend one more second of my life worrying. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, you know what he's saying? Whenever we're worrying, we're always worrying about tomorrow. We're always worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or in an hour. You know, we're always worrying about something that's going to happen in our near future. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Well, but tomorrow they're going to foreclose on our house. Don't worry about it. Just seek the kingdom. Well, but it might take my house. Well, it might. How is worrying going to fix them taking your house? Well, I guess it doesn't. Yeah, exactly. Just focus on the kingdom. Look up. Lord, they're going to take my house tomorrow. I'll tell you what, there's a big difference between praying and worrying. Praying is good. Let's talk to God all day long about our situation. Lord, help, break in. Because that's the very thing Paul said. He said, stop thinking about it and start praying about it. Thinking about it is looking around. Praying about it is looking up. You can still have a conversation about it. Just stop talking to people and yourself. Talk to God. That God has the capacity as the provider, the all-sufficient one. He has the capacity to help you in your situation. Thinking about it won't help you. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He says, you're already going to have enough issues. Don't spend 1 minute worrying. Listen, I want to give you permission tonight to call worry every time for the rest of your life sin, and you never have to do it again. You never have to worry about anything ever again. Well, yeah, but it's really pertinent. What if this happens to my family? What if this happens to my house? What if this happens to me, you know, about a health issue? Jesus said it's sin. Don't spend one more minute worrying. Instead, get yourself a prayer life and spend many, many more moments talking to the Lord about it. In all things, with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We can deliver ourselves. We can become supernatural believers that quick if we can just deliver ourselves from worry, because it plays such a role. I'm hoping and praying that the Lord would give us a grace that this year our church would actually be delivered from worry. And that we would, do you know what kind of people we would be if we actually gave 0 moments to worry? We actually, instead of worrying, presented our request to God and started thinking about it. That's my hope. Okay, well, let's touch on some areas, because at this point we've been still pretty broad. This is where you're going to get the rapid fire scripture references. All right, his provisions for us. We're going to touch a bunch of different areas of life. So we're going to the next area of our message. Andrew, would you grab my water real quick? Thanks, bro. His provisions for us. Thanks, dude. All right, in this section, what I want to do is I want to cover, I don't know, maybe 10. 10 different areas that the Lord has promised to provide for us. So not just finances, we'll include that, but 10 different areas of our life that the Lord wants to be the provider, that we can look to Him, that we can look to Him as sufficient. First, our finances. Sure, we work, but our job is not our hope. Because you can lose your job, and then if your job was your hope, now you're stuck. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:17. Check this out. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He's giving Timothy instruction about how to run the New Testament church. He says, young man, I want you to know you need to approach those who are putting their hope in money. And you need to approach them and say, you guys are actually leaning on something that's a crutch that can be taken out from underneath you. You have your hope in finances. It's not God. God is the one who makes the provision. God is the one that gave you the capacity to make that wealth. Don't put your hope in those finances anymore. Here's what he says. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant and not to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain. No, no, wealth is very certain. I've got wealth. I know I'm going to be okay. Wealth is so uncertain. You can lose it all in 1 minute. You are not promised tomorrow. You don't know. He says, tell them all to stop putting their hope in their wealth because it's uncertain, but instead put their hope in God. Here it is on the issue of finances, even to the rich, poor and the rich, everybody, the whole scale. Don't put your hope in the finances. Put your hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's the Lord that's making the provision, not the finances, not the job, not your education, not your wits, not your charm, not your last name. It's the Lord that's making the provision. Look to Him. Next, our health. Listen, doctors are helpful, but they are not in charge of our destiny. I'm grateful that the Lord uses doctors many, many times. But doctors are not our hope, and doctors are not our salvation. I might need to go to the doctor. I can't kick this cold. But I'm not looking to the doctor as the one who's going to fix me. I'm praying every day, Lord, heal me. And what if the Lord would choose to heal me by going to the doctor and getting whatever? I'm okay with that. I'm not totally bummed out by that. But the Lord is the one who is in charge of the healing. So whether that healing is slow, fast, through, you know, medicine, through somebody praying for me, whatever the case, our health is in the hands of the Lord. What that means, when you're facing serious illness, serious difficulties, if your hope is in that doctor, you're already dead. Your hope has got to be in the one who is in charge of health. Here's what it says. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. You guys know the passage. Surely He's the one who took up our infirmities. He's the one who carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And it is by His wounds that we receive health. It is by His wounds. The Lord is the one who is in charge of health. It's the reason that we pray for the sick. It's the reason that we contend to the Lord. Now again, the Lord can use a lot of different ways, a lot of different means. But if we put our hope in those ways or in those means, we have no hope. If you put your hope in the guy with the healing anointing, you have no hope. Your hope isn't that guy. Hope isn't that doctor. Your hope is the living God. And as long as we look to Him and trust Him for our provision, that's the right mindset. That's the way to stay in the game. He promises that He can be our health and is our health. Next, He's our strength. I have this incredible blessing. I mean, it's amazing. It doesn't matter how sick I am, how tired I am. It is just a grace from the Lord. Every time I get up to preach, if I am so messed up, so sick, He gives me strength to preach. Now, maybe when I'm done, I am more tuckered than when I started. But I am astounded at the way that the Lord has provided for me as being my strength in the area of sickness, weakness, totally tired. I've seen him do it 100 times where I had no capacity because the Lord is our strength. The Lord wants to be your strength. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's in your situation. Maybe you don't even have the strength to keep putting up with that person. Look to the Lord to be your strength. Listen, I appreciate food giving me strength. But if I'm actually looking at the things in the natural to be my primary source of strength, we'll never make it. Great story in Brother Yun's Heavenly Man. If you guys haven't read that book, I want to recommend everybody go and get your Kleenex ready. You'll have yourself a good cry, laugh a few times. Incredible book, Brother Yun, the Heavenly Man. He's been fasting, not even water. He's eating nothing, drinking nothing for 75 days. He's in a cell in prison. And the Spirit of the Lord comes on him and is his strength in a moment. He gets up and boldly preaches the gospel on the 75th or 76th day of a nothing fast. You have no strength in your body. He gets up, preaches the gospel, the whole cell gets saved. Everybody gives their life to Jesus. Because the Lord came by powerful provision. What's my point in that? My point is, I appreciate that the Lord uses food to sustain us and give us strength on a daily basis. I appreciate that. But it's the Lord that gives us our strength. If you're finding that you are lacking in strength, look to the Lord to be your provision. Look to the Lord to be the one to help you get through the circumstance, to give you the physical stamina to get through the day, to whatever it might be. Look to the Lord, our strength. Next, our protection. Proverbs 2:7-8. Our source of protection is not the police. I'm grateful for the police. Our source of protection is not our government. It's not our international standing, which might shift here in the coming years. We cannot put our hope in protecting ourselves. It's not our job. The Lord is our protection. Proverbs 2:7-8. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the ways of his faithful ones. You're concerned about protection? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're concerned? You're freaked out? You need protection? Look to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. You feel like there's a lack? You feel like there's intimidation? Even as these days get darker and difficulties increase and violence increases? Let's look primarily to the Lord as our sustaining grace. Now again, the Lord uses the police force. I'm grateful. I'm just not looking to the police to be my savior. The Lord uses our government to keep order in the nation. Awesome. The Lord uses the fact that we can bear arms. Great. But I'm not looking to that gun, that police officer, or that government to save me. I'm crying out to the living God. God, be my protection. I've had a couple of fun ones on this. Seeing the Lord be my protection in moments that I was toast, that I was really going to be in a serious hurt. I don't know if I've told you this story before. I was in Africa and I was doing missions over there. And there was a moment where it was probably going to go south. I was told later by people who understood the situation far better than I did that they were probably going to kill me, take my wallet that had no money in it, but they would have thought I had money because that would be reasonable for me to have money. A moment where they were probably going to take my money, kill me, and leave me for dead. Or, you know, beat me up, leave me for dead out in the middle of the desert. And the Holy Spirit fell on me in a moment of incredible power. And I totally had no thought of this in my mind. It was not anything I ever would have said. I pointed at this guy. I said, in Jesus' name, you get back in the car, and we start driving, and you leave me alone, and we're going to do whatever it is we were going to do before. And as soon as the power of the Lord my protector, I had no weapons, I had nothing. The Lord my protector, as soon as I said it, like a laser beam, it hit this dude. His countenance dropped completely. He got back in the car, and we just started driving. And the violent situation that was about to get ugly totally shifted in 1 second. Because the Lord's our protector. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, it's amazing. We've got to look to him. We've got to look to him as our sustaining grace, not to our circumstances and not to the natural things. And again, the Lord uses natural things. Just don't trust that thing to protect you. Don't trust that thing to provide for you. Direction. John 16, 13. If you guys have been around me much, you know I love this verse. This is a promise about the Holy Spirit. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, John 16, 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on His own, He'll speak only what He hears. He'll speak what He hears from the Father, and He will guide you into all truth. This means we can trust the Lord for direction in our life. Man, you know, doing a ministry with young adults now for a number of years, that is like one of the big ones. What am I supposed to do with my life? What's the direction for my life? What's the path God has me for? You can trust Him. He promises the Holy Spirit. It's not just something He does. It's who He is. He's the Spirit of truth. And He will lead you into all truth. That doesn't just mean Bible verses. Because it says He will guide you. He will lead you. He will instruct you. You can trust the Lord to be your direction. Don't trust in the natural circumstances. Well, when you turn 18, you're supposed to do this. When you turn 23, you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to get married at this age. You're supposed to do this. Give up on all that. Ask the Lord to guide you. Ask the Lord to lead you. He promises to be the director in your life, to lead you and to instruct you. If you don't have answers to where you're going, what you're doing, what you're supposed to do, I encourage you, spend a ton less time thinking about it. And commit some serious time to praying about it. Don't be anxious in your circumstance, in that thing that hasn't landed the way you want it to yet. Instead, give yourself to the place of prayer and ask the Lord to move in your situation. That's our way out. He's our direction. John 16, 13, later in the verse, it says, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He'll even tell you the future. This is one of the coolest things about the Lord. He knows the future. And He promises to tell it to you. That doesn't mean everything all the time, but it's a trip when the Lord does show you something in the future. To provide you divine information about your future. If you've never had the Lord do that before, I want to challenge you this year, go after it. Ask the Lord, pray and fast, seek the Lord, ask the Lord, start showing me my future, God. Start showing me what's going to happen next week. The Holy Spirit says He'll show you what's yet to come. He'll tell you. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's yet to come. That is the coolest thing. I want to encourage you, because really my hope in this message is to get us stop looking around, start looking up and interacting with the God of heaven as our provider. Provider of our finances, provider of our protection, provider of the knowledge of our future, provider of our lives. Our hope here is that this lesson, that this message tonight would get us interacting with heaven more and interacting with this less. Let's figure out how to just kind of be here but not be of here. Let's be in this world but not of it. Let's try to have less conversation about this and more conversation with the Lord about life, about destiny, about provision, about protection, about all these different things. He promises to grant wisdom. I love it. My wife didn't know that this was in the message tonight, but James 1:5, which she prayed earlier, is that the Lord promises to grant us wisdom. This is so helpful in 1,000 circumstances in your life. Because if you're anything like me, you're dumb, and you don't have a clue what you're supposed to do. And situations are befuddling. You're like, I don't know what to do. This situation is so crazy. So he's really not that crazy, but we're just that glib. Oh, I am. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'm there. So many times I look at a situation and I go, I have no idea what this calls for. What do we do? James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. It's that simple. Stop looking at the situation. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Stop asking, what am I going to do to yourself? What, are you going to all of a sudden know the answer when you didn't a minute ago? Stop talking to yourself. That's just weird. Talk to God. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Oh, it's so good that he doesn't find fault. But he looks at me and he's not looking at how I spent my last week or what I just said or did. He says, listen, if you'll just come to me and ask for wisdom, I've got ample supply. I'll give it to you. You need wisdom for your circumstances? Ask God. He gives generously. Our mind. Back to that Philippians 4 verse, We're promised that if we'll present our requests to God, this beautiful thing happens in our mind. I know many of you feel like your mind is like a prison. It's got all kinds of things in there, old memories, situations, anxieties, all these different things that you wish you could be, you know, free from and you could get out of. It says, if we will look to the Lord as our provider, if we'll talk to Him, Philippians 4:7 says this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Is your heart all aflutter? Is your heart all messed up? That situation messed me up. I don't even know what to do about that. Man, my mind is so consumed with this thing. I'm addicted to thinking about this thing. I can't get free from this thing. If you've got issues in your mind and in your heart, present your request to God. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. The promise of the Scripture is, a peace will rest on you. A supernatural peace. I've seen this one so many times. A supernatural peace. I remember one time when a buddy of mine disappeared. And we didn't know where he was. And everybody was freaked out. Everybody was so freaked out. Because we didn't know where he was. It was like, is he dead? Did he get kidnapped? I mean, why can't we get this guy on the phone? It's been days. We don't know where he is. We don't know what's going on. And it wasn't at all like him to ever do that. Everybody was freaked out. And I was like, I at least knew well enough to do this verse. I at least had that. And I go, Lord, I don't want to look at the circumstances. I want to know, what do you think about this? And I felt the peace of the Lord rest on me. And I just felt the Lord say, he's fine. Well, can you tell me where he is? I didn't get that. I just had this peace. And everybody was ticked at me. Like, why aren't you all freaked out? It's like, I got a couple Bible verses on that one, actually. I know we're not supposed to, but the peace of God's resting on me. You should be freaked out. You know, you like this, you love this guy. Where is he? We don't know where he is. I go, look, I don't know, but he'll be back. It'll be fine. The peace of God was resting, not because I'm anybody, because I followed a simple biblical principle. Don't look at your circumstance. Instead, present your requests to God. And a peace, a supernatural peace that doesn't make any sense. I love that. Which transcends all understanding. You know what that means? It doesn't make any sense at all that you have peace right now. Stephen, rocking mouth. It doesn't make any sense that you have peace right now. How come you have peace? The peace of God, which transcends understanding, is guarding my heart and my mind in Christ. It is supernatural. I want to encourage you. Clothe your mind with it. And lastly, our joy. So many times our joy is put in our circumstances. Your circumstances can totally lie to you. They can be stolen from you. Paul, writing from prison, that same passage in Philippians, he says, rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. He's in jail. He says, rejoice. He says, I've learned the secret to being satisfied, to being content, no matter my circumstances. Whether I'm high on the hog and I'm driving the bling car, I've got it all. Whether with all things or with nothing, in difficulty, in chains, I have learned the secret of being content in all circumstances because, Nehemiah 8:10, do not grieve. The Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy comes from the Lord. As believers, we're to be invincible. We are to be invincible. Nothing's to touch us. Because our joy isn't in our stuff. Our joy isn't in our circumstance. It doesn't matter. Because if Paul from jail can say, rejoice, throw yourself a big old party. Well, I've only got like 27 cents. Just be glad it ain't 25, friend. It's like, rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice. If Paul can rejoice in bad circumstances, and he's commanding the church, this is the way to live. Live above your circumstances. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, because it really has to do with your perspective. I'll leave you with this. So much of our lives, the Lord has put in our hands, in our control, if you will, in a very simple role. Our role is so simple. We've made it so complex. We have taken on so much that's not ours. Our role is simple. Trust in the Lord, and He will renew your strength. You will rise, wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's your lot in life. Look to Him. Don't look to your circumstance. Look to the Lord, and He promises to provide for you. He promises to make a way. His role is infinite because of Him, through Him, to Him, in Him, by Him are all things. You are so inadequate to pull any of that off. You have a very simple role, and there's serious power in your role. Look to Him for your provision and not to your circumstances. Everybody stand real quick. I want to pray for you.